Hello everyone, this is Brian Tilley with the latest Nikonians Behind the Lens podcast. Our guest today is Ross Hodinott, an award-winning natural history photographer and writer based on the Devon and Cornwall border in the southwest corner of England. Ross's first book, Digital Macro Photography, was published last year and he's currently working on a new volume. He also writes for several UK wildlife and photo magazines. Hi Ross, and thanks for joining us today.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me.
That's okay. It's good to have you here. Let's start off. I mentioned in the introduction there that you've had a book out last year, and you told me that you're working on a new one. So let's talk about choosing the subject of a book. How do you go about that?
Well, the actual the subject matter of a book isn't really my choice. So far with the books that I've written, I've actually been approached by a publisher and they've had a certain title in mind which they've asked me about, and then it's just a matter of whether it's a subject that I want to write about and accept the commission.
Okay, so you do get a bit of a choice, but it doesn't come from you in the first place.
Not with the titles I've written so far, but I think with Digital Macro, because I've already, obviously, you know, I'm quite well known for doing macro work, I think that's a subject matter which they'd see me photograph a lot and thought I was suitable for the title.
Right, I understand. That's interesting. When you're doing a book, how much time does it take you?
A lot less than you'd imagine. I mean, I thought originally when you're kind of asked to write a book, you'd be given a fantastic amount of time to prepare the material. With the macro book, I was given about 3 months to actually prepare the material, which, although there's a certain amount of images, which obviously you can use, existing images which you can use, there's plenty of material which you need to capture. And that, along with the text, makes it quite a tight deadline.
That does sound like a tight deadline, yeah. As a personal matter, how do you cope with deadlines? Is it something that affects your enjoyment of photography?
I think to an extent. I mean, there's times when having a deadline to work to is quite nice and quite refreshing. But it can be quite stressful. There's a few evenings pulling your hair out, and you tend to meet them. And I've been quite lucky. The editors I've worked with have been quite understanding. And if I miss it by a few weeks, it's not the end of the world. So.
That's nice of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
So have you been working on another book recently since Digital Macro Photography came out?
Yes, I've just completed a book about filters, which the actual title is The Digital Photographer's Guide to Using Filtration, and that's with David and Charles. And it's a book about using traditional filters in camera, but also covering some post-processing techniques and applying some Photoshop filters, afterwards.
So would that be aimed both at digital and film photographers?
It's very much aimed at the digital market. I mean, the in-camera filtration, is going to apply to all photographers. There is a chapter on white balance, obviously that's specific to digital snappers. But really, it's for digital photographers ideally.
Do you use a lot of filters yourself?
I do. I'm quite a purist, so the filters I use are the kind of usual suspects, polarizers, that type of natural density graduation, yeah. and that type of thing. It's an important element of my work, definitely.
Right. So you'd be writing from experience then, as you were with the macro one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. I mentioned in the introduction that you write for magazines, and I know you have other outlets for your images as well. What resources do you tend to use for marketing your images?
I have a variety of markets. I mean, as you say, a lot of my images go into magazines and obviously now into books. I'm contracted to several picture agencies who represent my work, and the great thing about them is obviously they can reach markets which an individual photographer couldn't. For instance, presently I have an image on a postage stamp, which is something I couldn't dream of doing otherwise. But through my, I'm with Nature PL, and through them, that they're obviously reaching a variety of markets, which I wouldn't have found. So
Do you do much marketing yourself, or is it mostly relying on the agencies?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good percentage which is through my own website, and obviously making contact with a variety of publishers, book publishers, magazines, and actually pursuing different areas of work. I live in Cornwall, so the great thing about around here is obviously there's a big tourism market, so there's all kinds of brochures, websites. So there's a variety of markets which I can approach, which is great for me.
Right, no, that's good. You're clearly using your background and the area you live in as a way of increasing the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, very lucky to live in a beautiful part of the world, and yeah, it's only right to utilise that.
Yeah. Let's step back in time a bit now, and I know that I said in the introduction again that you were an award-winning photographer, and I believe you won your first award at the age of about 11 or 12, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It seems a long time ago now, but when I was 11, I think 11 or 12, I was fortunate enough to win BBC Country Files photographic competition, which I think still carries on today, which was great for me. I took it with some close-up lenses, very basic kit, and you know, my prize was a Minolta 7000i, which at the age of 12 is you know, was a really exciting experience. So that was great.
So at the time you won that, you hadn't been doing photography for very long at all.
No, I'd been taking pictures for probably just about a year. My mum and dad had bought me just a really bog standard compact film compact, which I'd been using for a short time, then I progressed to they had an old Zenit 11, which I started taking pictures with, and it progressed.
Was photography an interest from your family, or is it just something they encourage you to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, not at all. Neither of my parents are really interested in photography. It was just a present, really. It was just I think they were stuck, and they just happened to give me a camera, so I was lucky.
Do you still have or use that first camera at all?
The first camera, I still have it, but I don't use it now. But yeah, I will keep it, definitely. And I've still got the Zenit 11 that I used as well. And, you know, that's a robust old camera. It looks rather dated now, but it's something I won't part with.
That was a Minolta you said you won in that competition, which
that's
I guess
right,
you
yeah.
used for a while. When did you switch over to the Nikon system?
I used the Minolta camera for several years, and it was a great camera, but there came a point when I realised that, you know, the Minolta system was limited. And I suppose at the age of 16 or 17, I decided to swap, and Nikon was the obvious place to go. And, yeah.
Mm. That sounds a bit similar to me, actually. I started with Minolta and then quite a number of years later moved over to Nikon.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like the place to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
In terms of learning about photography, are you self-taught?
Yeah, I'm completely self-taught. I was actually educated at home anyway. My parents took me out of school when I was seven, and that gave me the time to kind of actually learn about the natural history near where I lived. And the next step from that was when I did have a camera, you know, to combine the two interests. And, you know, it did give me that opportunity to really learn and develop my photography from quite a young age.
Yeah. It's encouraging to see somebody succeeding as you are without having been trained formally to do it.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, hopefully I think it's one of those professions which is quite instinctive. So yeah, I don't think you necessarily need to study photography to become a good photographer.
When did you actually become in effect a full-time professional then?
I kind of always knew I wanted to be a professional photographer, really from mid-teens. That was my ambition. I was kind of working part-time as a photographer, probably from the age of 17 or 18, and earning some money from it and supplementing that with a part-time job. The age of, I suppose, 21, 22, I actually took the plunge and went fully professional, which was a struggle for several years to actually make ends meet. It was worked out. It was worth it in the end, so...
Just to put that in context for our listeners, if you don't mind, how old are you now?
I'm 28 at the minute, so I'm getting on a bit now. So.
Yes. Okay, that's all good. Let's move on a bit now and talk about how you approach photography, how you develop the style, that kind of thing. A particular typical scene that you might be photographing, how do you approach it? What's in your head when you're going up to the subject and thinking about how to photograph it?
That's such a good sub. That's a really good question, because it's you know, I'm one of these people that thinks every subject kind of warrants a different approach. And I don't think there's any real guidelines you can use to an extent. You have to treat every subject individually, and it will depend on the light and obviously the subject matter. Really, if it's a landscape, it's very much dependent on the light and dependent on creating an overall image. So I'll be consciously looking for interesting foreground interest and create a nice overall shot. When it comes to macro images, really what I'm looking for is to produce a very simple image. I like images to be simple and clean, not too cluttered or complicated. So I'm very conscious really of the background element. That's one of the key areas I look for when I'm taking pictures.
Sounds like you clearly made an effort to develop your own style of photography, both for landscapes and macro there. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, you know, my natural history photography has very much been inspired by Laurie Campbell. And one of the things that really attracted me to his work when I was younger and developing my style was the fact that his images were very simple, very clean. And I think that's something I've developed and you know, obviously, you know, adapted for myself. So yeah, hopefully.
Are there other ways where you feel your images are different? What makes them stand out?
It's a really difficult one because it's not really for the photographer to say. You know, it's for other people to say. So hopefully, my images do stand out. But it's a difficult question to answer.
Let's try and put it a different way. Do you feel it's important that you have a trademark to make marketing your images easier and more effective?
Yeah, I think if you've, as a photographer, you've got to have a certain approach and a certain style to your work. And I think hopefully that then does make them stand out from obviously competitors.
And are you still developing that style now, or do you think it's something that you've got and you'll stick with?
No, I think it's developing all the time. I think photography, your style, it's an evolution really, and as you progress and as you learn more and you become a better photographer, that style has to change. And I've got a lot to learn. I'm still far from the photographer I want to be, so yeah.
Okay, moving on from that, let's talk about techniques and tips for other photographers.
Yeah.
Lighting, I guess, is one issue that we're all interested in. You talked about the need for light in landscape photography. Do you do all of your work based on natural light, or do you use artificial lighting at all?
Basically, it's all natural lighting. I mean, I do use flash to a small extent, and basically when I do, it will be just perhaps a small element of fill flash. But natural light is what I prefer using. You know, even with a close-up photography, which obviously can be a difficult area with lighting because obviously you're working so close to the subject that you're actually restricting the natural light, I still try to rely on natural light because of its quality. When possible, always avoid flash.
Do you use reflectors then?
I do, yeah. I mean, just, you know, again, for the close-up work, just a small laser light reflector. And that's just such a nice way to actually, you know, produce a slightly more balanced image when necessary. So yeah,
right. Okay, a little bit about locations, perhaps. And as we're recording this, I'm sitting in your front room with a fantastic view out of the window behind me.
Thank you.
What is around here your favourite location?
Yeah, I mean, I just love Devon and Cornwall, to be honest. I mean, this is very much my home, and although obviously I do visit other locations, this is the area I enjoy photographing the most, and I'm very, very fortunate where I live. I've just got a beautiful beach just a few miles away called Sandy Mouth, which is one of my favourite beaches. But the whole coastline along here is beautiful, it's rugged, very photogenic throughout the seasons. And I also live within a short drive of Dartmoor and Bodmin and Exmoor. So I'm really spoiled for choice, to be honest.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's good.
When you're out photographing, sorry, I'll say that again for the editor. When you're out photographing, do you see a particular image easily, or is it something you have to work at?
Normally, I would say I find it relatively easy to kind of see an image and then create it in camera. I think there are times, I think we all suffer from this, where when you've got beautiful light in front of you in a beautiful scene and you just can't find the image within it, which is very frustrating. But normally I'm quite fortunate and I can see that image and go about capturing it.
Do you have an image in your head and go out and find it, if you see what I mean, or do you go to a location and then choose what sort of image you're going to make?
I think there's a mixture of two. I think there's a certain element which is when you're out taking pictures, you come across situations or subjects which are unexpected, and then you can go and photograph them. Yes, certainly with probably more with the natural history work, there may be a certain way I want to photograph a certain species of butterfly, for instance, or a flower, and I have that in my mind, and then I will go and try and recreate that. Obviously, it dictated so much when you go out with the conditions, and obviously wildlife is so unpredictable. But yes, yeah, certainly that there's a, I think there's a mixture of both, to be honest.
Okay. Do you try to get things right in camera when you're out?
As much as possible. I am a very much a traditionalist, and I do prefer to get things right in camera. So yes, very much so.
Okay, that's good. Let's move on from that and talk about tips for other photographers. From the photographic point of view, what would you think, from your point of view, is the main number one tip that people should keep in their mind when they're out?
Just be original, I think. I think just go with your instincts. I think it's very easy when you approach a subject to see an image initially and then almost think about it too much. And talk yourself out of taking that original shot. And I find personally that your original instincts for a scene or subject are normally the correct ones.
Right. You sound like you do a lot of preparation for photography. Is any of it luck?
Definitely. Yeah, there has to be. You can prepare to a certain extent. But when it comes down to it, when you're shooting outdoors, you're relying so much on the weather. And if you're shooting natural history, you're relying so much on their cooperation, which doesn't happen very often. So, yeah, there is an element of luck, and that's just part of my work, really.
How successful are you at getting the images when you're out shooting? Do you tend to take a lot of images and then in the hope of getting one or two, or do you spend time taking just a small number and they're all really good?
I wish they were really good, all of them. I'm not the kind of photographer that shoots a huge amount of images to get one or two good shots. I have to say I did tend to be quite picky, and I will only take pictures which I feel are going to be good enough for me to use. So I'm not too trigger happy. Certainly with landscapes and things like flowers. When it comes to a moving subject, at the minute I'm photographing garden birds quite a lot, there's an element there when you have to really take a lot of images to get the image you want. So it's very much dependent on the subject. But the success rate isn't too bad. It's not too bad.
I know that you've converted to digital capture, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Has that made a difference to the approach you use in terms of the number of shots you take?
Yeah, I mean, again, referring back to the garden birds I'm shooting at the minute, the freedom that it gives you, the fact that you can shoot, I mean, some mornings perhaps a couple of 100 images in a very short amount of time, and not really be concerned about cost or the processing involved, it is great. And it doesn't make you, I don't think it makes a photographer lazy, but it does give you more opportunity. Yeah. And digital from that point of view is hugely useful.
Moving on again now, I think it's time to satisfy the members of Nikonians who want to hear about what equipment you use.
Right.
You said that you made a deliberate choice to use the Nikon system.
Yeah.
Can you give us a bit of insight into why that was?
It's basically just quality. It's the system which I feel happy with from so many different points of view. Build quality, just the handling, the performance, and obviously now with digital, just the image quality as well. So actually it was a very easy choice to make.
Right. Which cameras do you use at the moment?
I'm presently using a couple of D200s and saving my pennies for a D2X. You know, I was going to get one last year, but I had a baby arrive, so she took priority. But yeah, very happy with the D200. It's a really good camera.
Is there anything, not in terms of criticising it, but is there anything it lacks that you'd find useful?
To be honest, I don't think there is. I'm very comfortable with it and very happy with it. I can't think of anything negative to say, really, to be honest.
Right. You are allowed to say things negative.
I would do, but now I'm sure. Very happy with it, yeah.
Good. What about lenses, then?
Variety of lenses, obviously. I actually rely quite heavily on Sigma EX lenses, purely because when I was younger, and obviously on a very limited budget as a teenager, I had to rely on independent makes then. And I used Sigma quite a lot as a teenager, and that's really just continued. It's not been necessarily a conscious effort, it's just the way it's happened. So I have a mixture of Nikon and Sigma lenses at the minute.
Do you see much difference in terms of handling or the quality of the output between the Sigma and the Nikon?
Not a huge amount. I mean, I am using the higher range end of the Sigma lenses, and the quality is very, very good. Optically, I've not had with the lenses I bought optically, both Sigma and Nikon, I've been very, very happy with actually.
Have you had any technical failures of any of your equipment?
Never. Not once. I should touch wood when I say that, but so far I've been very lucky. Certainly I've never had any problem with any lenses, and in terms of the cameras I've used, nothing. I'm racking my brain now, but no problems at all, thankfully, so hopefully that will continue.
Well, I hope so. I hope I haven't jinxed you by asking you the question.
I hope so as well.
How do you select the right lens to use for a particular assignment or photo?
Again, I think that's quite an instinctive thing. I think when you see a scene or a subject which you're going to photograph, and you immediately start to see that image in your mind, the focal length of the lens you're going to use becomes quite automatic. So that's something I've never really struggled with too much.
Is that something that you had to make a conscious effort to adjust with the cropped frame size moving to digital?
It's a good question, but now you come to mention it, no, I don't think I have. It's just something which happened quite naturally. So no, it's not something I had to adapt to at all. It just seemed quite natural.
Okay. That leads on to perhaps a little more detailed discussion of the digital side of your work.
Right.
And what happens after the image leaves the camera.
Yeah.
What was your first catalyst for switching from film to digital?
I think I just felt it was the right time. I've always enjoyed using film, and for a long time, I was very, very much kind of against turning to, you know, going digital. The D70 came out and it was well priced, and I thought, well, let's have a look at that. Let's buy that and just have a play and see what the fuss is all about. And was really taken with it. Really enjoyed shooting digitally, and I think we got to that point anyway a few years ago when we recognised that digital was the way forward, and so I decided just to embrace it, really.
Has it been a steep learning curve?
I think initially it changed, you know, it's such a time-consuming thing, developing images and obviously going through and editing and doing a certain element of post-processing, and you've got to adjust to new terms like white balance, and there are so many other things that kind of had to be adjusted to. So yes, I think to an extent initially there was a lot of learning. I think once you get over that initial period and you settle into a different way of working, then it's absolutely fine.
Was that learning difficult, given that I guess you had to do it while relying on it to earn a living?
Yes. I mean, initially the way I got around with it was actually working using both cameras at the same time, in the sense that if I had a beautiful image in front of me, I'd shoot it on film and then I'd shoot it digitally, you know, just to make sure, really, just to give me that security. I think initially I needed a lot of reassurance that the digital image was going to be able to match the film frame. And I think once it took me 7 months to kind of really feel totally reassured that it was comparable. Mm-hmm. And when it was, I think I felt quite safe then to kind of carry on and shoot digitally.
What were you comparing it with at that stage? Was that colour slide film?
Yeah, I was using at that stage an F100 and just shooting a mixture of Sensi and Velvia.
Right. Has using digital changed the way you operate? It's something we touched on a little bit earlier, but perhaps we could try and expand on that.
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, it certainly made, and this is a real cliche now, I think, but it has made me more creative. There's no two ways about it, because it gives you the freedom to try different things, and obviously seeing the results instantly, which means you can correct, or you can realise something is working or it's not working. It's a fantastic tool, digital. It really is. And I think for my type of work, that instant feedback has to change the way you work.
Yeah. Yes, I know what you mean. The change to digital is something I'm going through at the moment, so I can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Talking about post-processing then for a little while.
Right.
Once you've got the image that you want, I was going to say on film there, but on a compact flash card.
Yeah.
What happens to it next?
Once it's on the computer, I will open up in the Nikon software and make the very minimum of alterations to it before saving it as a TIFF. Obviously, I shoot in RAW, I should say. And once it's a TIFF, I then just open up in Photoshop and make, you know, just small alterations using levels, perhaps just tweaking hue and saturation very slightly. Basically, I try and do the minimum of post-processing to my images. I try and, as I said earlier, try and get things right in camera as much as possible. The other element, obviously, which is the kind of one of the drawbacks of digital, is that there's an element of cleaning images up, because it's unavoidable to get dust and dirt on the sensor. So there's always going to be a small element of having to clone and just tidy images up very slightly. Mm. But that's par for the course, unfortunately.
Is that Nikon Capture NX you use for the initial RAW conversion?
I've actually still been using Nikon View until recently, but yes, I will be actually buying that software fairly soon. So,
what's the length of time that you'd like to limit yourself to for processing an image?
That's a good question. I mean, as little as possible. Yeah. Really, it shouldn't, you know, an image shouldn't take more than a couple of minutes, hopefully, to kind of get the way I want it to. So occasionally I'll spend more time if you know, I need to make selections and adjust the kind of contrast in a selected part of the image, not too long generally.
And presumably you're going through that for images that you're going to be using either in a book or another project. You don't do that with every image you take?
No. I mean, it's a matter of going through the thumbnails, having a look at them. And obviously, when I do take pictures, especially with close-ups, I may take multiple images, adjusting depth of field very slightly, and then picking out the image that is the strongest, and then just processing that image.
Presumably, you do that selection of the best image once it's on the computer, rather than doing it in camera.
Yeah, I mean, there's, to an extent, I will kind of delete a few images in camera if there's obviously a problem. But generally, if I'm unsure, you just wait until it's on a computer. I mean, the nice thing about the D200 is obviously you can really zoom into the image and check image quality, which is something I do quite a lot, especially with the macro images, when image sharpness is such a an issue. So that's a very useful feature in the D200, but you can really only be positive once it's on the computer, I think.
Do you use the RGB histogram facility on the D200 monitor?
Not probably as much as I should do, but yeah, I do. If the light is quite contrasty and it's a slightly difficult shooting situation, I think that is something which probably a lot of photographers don't use enough, and I'm one of them, but yeah, I do use that.
Let's talk about storage of digital images for a minute then. You use compact flash cards, obviously, in the D200. What sort of size and how many? Do you carry a lot of little ones or a couple of big ones?
Yeah, I've got several cards. Obviously, I'm using a mixture of 2 and 4 gig cards. I suppose I've got 6 or 7.
Right.
So that normally is sufficient. I mean, I have, you know, if I'm away taking pictures, I have a laptop anyway, which I can obviously download images onto in an evening and review them. So yeah, I've got enough storage to keep me going during the day. That's the most important thing.
Well, once you've got the image onto the laptop, if you're out for a while on an assignment, do you have a backup strategy?
Yes, I mean, basically I have external hard drives. I mean, the great thing today is external hard drives are so cheap, or comparatively cheap. So I don't think I've never actually had a problem with a hard drive crashing. I've never lost material so far, and I'm very lucky in that situation. But I'm still incredibly paranoid about it. So I do tend to kind of really make sure that things are backed up very carefully, both the raw images and the processed images.
Do you go to the level of writing them to CD, DVD, discs?
Yeah, I do. Again, probably not as regularly as I should, but I do tend to back up on DVD as well, you know, kind of throughout the year. But because I'm using so many different hard drives, I feel quite hopeful that, you know, every eventuality is covered.
It certainly sounds like you thought it through, so let's hope it works for you.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Very open-ended question here now. How do you see the future of digital, particularly photography?
How do I see the future? I mean, it's got to improve again. It's very difficult to see. I think 35mm film is probably going to become a niche market. I think really digital has already kind of captured 35mm, but it's now where the digital will progress and advance to kind of eclipse medium and larger formats. Mm-hmm. But I think wherever digital goes, we can all feel assured that it's only going to get better and we're going to have more options. And it'd be interesting to see over the next few years. I'm sure it'll advance very quickly.
Yes, clearly it has been a developing area for a few years now and is continuing to be so.
Yeah, quite.
How do you feel about the so-called megapixel race?
Yeah.
You've got 10 and a bit megapixels in your D200. Is that enough for what you do?
I mean, presently I'm very happy with the image quality, and I've had no problems from magazines and books that I work with in terms of the file size. I think one of the things that a photographer looks out for first with a new camera is the resolution, which I think is quite an instinctive thing. But to be honest, I think we're getting to a point now with megapixel cameras where we don't necessarily need a higher resolution. It's the quality of the image sensor which is the most important thing. And I think probably over the next few years we'll see perhaps companies concentrate more on image quality and perhaps increase dynamic range rather than increasing the actual pixel count of the sensor.
Yeah. The increased dynamic range is something that the Fujifilm cameras tend to major on.
That's
right. Have you had a look at their new S5?
Yeah, I'm presently just reviewing the S5 for outdoor photography, which is really interesting to have a look at it because it is a D200 casing, which makes it nice and comfortable for me to use, and I feel very familiar with it. And I've only had it for a few days, so I haven't had a chance yet to really kind of try out the dynamic range. But, you know, I believe it gives an extra couple of stops, and that could be a very important thing. And it's also got a facility on it which you can replicate or attempt to replicate film types. And I think one of the settings is very much designed to replicate Velvia, and it'd be interesting to see whether it comes anywhere close.
Yes, I think that will be interesting. Mm. It sounds like quite a powerful beast in its way.
Yeah, I think so.
Slower than the D200, from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I've been using it to kind of photograph birds again at this project that I'm doing presently, and the frame rate drops to 1.5 frames per second when the dynamic range is increased, and that is quite pedestrian. So I think, you know, it's a long way from being the kind of finished model, but it'd be interesting to see, you know, how it looks, the images.
Maybe it's just aimed at a different type of photographer.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the previous Fujifilm cameras have been very popular with portrait photographers, and you know, whether this will be the same, you know, time will tell.
Okay, we're getting close to the end of our time slot now. Let's take a slightly different tack for a minute.
Right.
Talk about problems. I mean, you said earlier on that you've never, touch wood, had an equipment problem.
Yeah, that's right.
What about mental problems? Do you ever get creative block?
Oh, yeah, occasionally. I think everyone who's honest would admit to that occasionally. Times when you just go out and you can't see the image and you're convinced they're there somewhere. I'll be honest, it hasn't happened too frequently, which is good. But I think there are days when, for one reason or another, it's a struggle to take pictures. Other days it just seems so simple and so easy and it comes so naturally. But I think it doesn't matter whether you've picked up a camera for the first time or you're an experienced professional. I think we all get those feelings from time to time. So
when you do get that sort of feeling, how do you get around it?
I normally just try and work through it. I just kind of try and really discipline myself to just carry on taking pictures, and if I'm unhappy, just keep on and work through it. And I think that's probably a better solution than just packing up and going home, to be honest.
Yes, I think you're probably right then. About challenges in photography, what's the biggest challenge you've had, other than possibly writing a book in 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really difficult one to answer, because really the biggest challenge probably has been writing the books. Over the last 18 months I've been writing more than I'd like to be, and that's just part and parcel of my work. And really I want to be taking pictures more and more. So the biggest challenge is kind of being disciplined and completing various commissions and the work that I'm given, when I'd really rather be out taking pictures.
Understandable, definitely. Are you still looking for new challenges?
For so long that the big thing I wanted to do was write a book, and I never expected to get the opportunity quite so young. So I've done that now, and although I'm sure there'll be other books in the future, really it's kind of adjusting the goalposts slightly for me now, and kind of looking at different steps and different challenges. But I think, to be honest, every time you go out taking pictures is a challenge. There's always something fresh to photograph. And I think that's one of the great joys of photography, is that every day is a challenge.
Interesting way of putting it. And well, I'm sure you're going to be successful.
So, thank you.
Ross Hoddinott, thank you very much.
Thank you.